this message, I'll be speaking on the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. And I want you to listen very, very closely. Our theme is wisdom for spiritual effectiveness. That theme is very delicate and sensitive, because most people confuse effectiveness with efficiency. FT is doing right. Efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. So we are talking of the wisdom, or contacting and walking in the kind of wisdom that enables us to be spiritually effective, not just efficient, doing the right things. And to my mind, this year life and the journey of a child of God is simplified into two segments. Number one, get it right. Number two, get better till you meet Jesus. Those are the two really important things in life. Don't start anything, don't get involved in anything until you understand these two ruling principles for a life of effectiveness, continuous progress and advancement and enlightenment and increase and success and victory. Get it right and then settle down to get better. However long it takes you to get it right, take the time. We don't have time for trial and error. We have time to fulfill our destiny. So you must get it right on every issue. I am a married man, and my job was first to get it right about who to marry. And today, all I am doing is get better as a husband to my wife, get better as a father to my children. I got it right as to what is God's plan for my life. As far back as when I was in primary school, I saw revelations and visions of God, of his plan for me to be a minister. I didn't know what it was and how I'm going to be a minister, so I told my family members, I'm going to be a reverend father. I won't marry. Because that was the closest thing that I knew of a minister that time, until I got born again. But after I got born again, I found that I'm supposed to be in the ministry, and to be in the ministry full time, I got it right, and I've been getting better every day since that time. And that's all I'm going to do till Jesus come. So you don't have many things to do. You just need to get it right and start getting better. You can't live the rest of your life just on trial and error and things like that. I found out as a minister, I'm not an evangelist. So I'm not going to get into that. There are people that invite me and say, what we hear you teach on television and radio, come and hold a crusade for you. I say, no, I'm not going to do that. If I hold a crusade, people will fall asleep before I finish preaching in the night. Give me the morning session where people are fresh, and I'm going to teach them. Do you get what I'm saying? Praise God. So I settle down and getting better and getting better and getting better and getting better. Get it right. That is the major part. And then settle down and keep getting better. If God's plan for you is to be a businessman, get it right and start getting better. If God's plan is for you to start a ministry, get it right and start getting better. If God's plan is to be an associate pastor, get it right and start getting better till Jesus. See, there is something like a permanent associate. There's nothing like promotion to from an associate that you become a GO. In turn, back when you're king, what? Get it right and start getting better. That's why some people have a future that is not only reducing, it will eventually be canceled. Because they've missed it. And I pray for you, anywhere you have missed it, may God help you. Are you following? If you go to the bookshop, there are many, many cassettes that people have waxed for music that nobody is buying. Because God didn't send them to sing. As a minister of the gospel, out of all the ministries, the one that I like the most is to sing. And God never called me a singer. Are you following what I'm saying? I could not learn how to sing if I spend all the rest of my life learning how to sing. Sometimes when they are singing and I raise a chorus, and mommy said, "Daddy, you missed the key." I said, "Where was the key? I didn't even notice the key. I've been listening to music. I've never known what was the key." They said that person missed the key. I didn't know what the key was. Praise God. So if I stop what I'm doing now and learn how to sing, I will have missed God by a mile. Anybody that does anything about space travel, understand that before they send a spaceship into space, they will do some calculations, draw some map. If on the calculation there is a 1 degree error, that spaceship can be lost by 1 million miles. There are some issues in your life that you can't afford to miss it. So when we talk about spiritual effectiveness, we are talking of doing the right things first. And I want you to get that clear. It takes wisdom to be effective. Without wisdom, a man or a woman cannot be effective. And in my journey ministry over the years, I have found out that the greatest enemy of God's people is not Satan. The greatest enemy of God's people is lack of wisdom, is folly and foolishness. We miss God and then we blame the devil. And I pray that that is going to live your life today. You will not blame the devil for errors that you can correct. Praise God. So we need to understand those two principles. Get it right, get better. Once you are sure I have gotten this one right, then I settle now to keep getting better, better, better. Sometimes getting better will just require some slight adjustment, some little turn here and there. When I started ministry, I knew I got that right, and God said we should go to Jeshalan, and he said, "You will start from there and reach the world." And I went to Jeshalan. I didn't know anybody there. And we started obeying God. God gave promises and gave many instructions to us. But at a point, the Lord began to deal with my, go back to the original instruction. You will start from there. I didn't say you will stay there. Okay? And then he said we should move to Oshogbo. At the time that we were moving to Oshogbo, we had 4 buildings at Lesha. The one at A197 Ishokun was the mother church. Mommy was pastoring that. And they were running double services. And that looked like, well, this is wonderful. But God said, it's time to move. And so we moved. At the time that we were at 7 Ishokun, we were struggling to pay the rent. We pray, we struggle, we pay the rent. Sometimes we'll be late in paying the rent and all that. But then we moved to Ishokun. And the work at Oshogbo took a new turn. And within 3 years or 4 years of moving to Oshogbo, the A197 building that was struggling to pay the rent, the church bought the entire property. So when God said move, it was moving into greater things. That is in the side of getting better. Did you get what I'm saying? So you must understand that the two sides of your life, getting it right, getting better, will be full of different activities, different decisions, different instructions, different personalities. Some people will need to live your life in order for you to get it. When I started in ministry, I was a missionary. We were going to the villages, and then God said we should come to the city, to the town, and do church work. So we started. But I was struggling with church work and wanted to do church, you know, in a particular way. But my heart was going to radio ministry. And every minister that was connected to me that time, they tell me and said, "Don't go on radio, it is very expensive. Difficult and things like that." So I'll stop. And I'm struggling with church work. until God supernaturally stepped in and knew that if I continued in these associations, my destiny would become trapped and stranded. So he separated me from some good men. They were not bad men, they were good men. What is good is not equal to what is right. You must always know that. If you are going to make it, you must know that good does not equal right. If you're going to succeed and be effective, you must be connected to right and right, not good. Good. Failures always look for good things. Successful people look for right things. So God moved me out of that circle and told me to go to radio. In fact, he told us and said, stop putting money on the church buildings. At Elisha, we are doing 4 church buildings. He said, put the money on radio. And so we put the money on radio and started doing radio. And today, everywhere that the ministry has gotten to, everybody that is a key member of the ministry today, they came into the ministry through the radio ministry. In fact, some people mock me. One of my friends, today we joke about it. He told me that. I said, this radio ministry that you don't see the fruit of it, and you keep pouring money into it. We joke now because he's also on radio and TV and things like that. But in getting it right, it is a personal affair between you and God. You cannot be effective on a wrong road. You can't be. When ministers come to me and ask me, excuse me, sir, and God has called me to ministry, I say there are 3 questions you must answer. Number one, has God called you to the office of the word, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor? Number one, you must be clear about that. You can't God call you to be a musician and you are starting a ministry. You cannot say God called you to be a drama minister and you are starting a ministry. All those ones are support ministries. You must not confuse headship call and associate call. I hope you follow what I'm saying. And you can say God has given you a counseling ministry and you are starting a ministry. So I say, has God called you to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, or pastor? Number two, has God called you to start a ministry or join a ministry? Because today there are people that are 30 years in the ministry of failure, and they should go back to the original call. God never told him to start a ministry. He misinterpreted. You can be an associate pastor under Dr. Lord Nolanode, and this is you are the resident pastor here, and you are standing under a cloud of an anointing of a headship call, and you are flowing effortlessly in the shoes of your father, and people are blessed. Revelation is flowing. Wisdom beyond your years, depth of the word of God beyond your Bible study is flowing. You lay hands, miracles are happening. Some crazy people will tell you and say, "One only beret here." And there are many people that started like that. And listen to me, when the rain stops falling, the man carrying an umbrella, we know it's a load he's carrying. So it's important that you understand that. I hope you're following what I'm saying. So as God's people, we must never be in doubt about the fact that what you are doing, you are right about that. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's the second question. Has God called to start or to associate? If God called you to start, I told a man of God at Lisha years ago, he has a ministry, a fantastic teacher and minister. And he would come and ask me all kind of strange questions. How do you do this? And one day I said, excuse me, bro, I love you. You preach for me and all that, but the question you're asking does not show you have a headship call. All right? Now, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but the point is this. I don't think that God called him to start a ministry. Now, your best friends can be founders. That does not mean God called you to be one. Once you miss it, you can't be effective again. If you are going to Sokoto and you find yourself in Calabar and you are becoming more determined, you are not going to get to Sokoto. You get into the sea. That's number two. Number three, has God called you to do it full time or part time? All the three are callings. Once you are clear about that, then no problem. You must always ask the questions that help you to get it right. This thing that I'm doing, is it what God wants me to do? There was a time in my ministry, I began to look, I was having struggles. And I stopped everything I'm doing. I went to the Lord. And I wrote everything that we had in the ministry. And I said, this one, God didn't tell us to do it. I saw this one in that particular ministry, and I liked it, so I'm doing that. I saw this one, God didn't say this one, it was because of a problem that we started this one. It wasn't the original instruction. And I began to cancel all those things. And then we picked up again. Do you get what I'm saying? You must constantly do a review of your life to be sure that you are where God wants to be and you are doing what God wants you to do. Did you get what I'm saying? In spiritual things, one with God is a majority. 50 people can miss it together. A brother receiving a sister doesn't mean they are right. The two of you can be wrong. And the marriage is wrong. So be sure that you are right, you got it right, and then settle down to do what? To get better. That is the key to effectiveness. I hope you follow what I'm saying. And my prayer today is that the spirit of wisdom is going to be available to us. Today, this night, I am going to just speak on wisdom. Just give you definitions and talk about wisdom. Tomorrow, we do the spirit side of wisdom and trust God for impartation of the spirit of wisdom. Because it is a spirit. Praise God. If you turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm 104, and you read the entire book passage, but I want you to read verse 24. Psalm 104. And you read verse 24. Praise God. And 25. Oh Lord, how manifold are thy works in wisdom. Everybody say in wisdom. In wisdom has thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you made them all. Now, I want you to take note of something, because beginning from tonight, I want you to focus your mind on the spirit of wisdom. There is a spirit of wisdom, and there's a spirit of folly. And spirits work in gangs. Spirits work in gangs. No spirit work alone. When you read the Bible, are you listening to what I'm saying? You will find out that there is nowhere except in one passage in the book of Ecclesiastes that you find wisdom that is not associated with riches. Wisdom and riches work together. Wisdom and productivity work together. We will read some few verses today. In fact, in the book of Mark, they saw Jesus and in his hometown, they say, what wisdom is this that is given him that such mighty works are done by his hand? Mighty works are product of wisdom. The universe, from this passage, is a manifestation of wisdom. Your destiny can only come out of the operation of wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? Power is a starter, but wisdom is a finisher. Power starts many things, but can't finish it. Listen to me, beloved. Many Christians have had their destiny truncated and struggled because a man of God, hear this, can carry the power to deliver you from a bondage, but may not have the wisdom to pastor your destiny. There are lots of us that are trapped in that kind of a paradox. Are you following what I'm saying? When you look at God, you see God, two things mark him out: power and wisdom. Satan can counterfeit power, but he can't counterfeit wisdom. Amen. And so it is very vital that we understand certain things. I want you to write down, because today I'm laying a foundation for the spirit of wisdom to work with us and to move in our lives. Amen. If God founded and created this earth by wisdom, then the following positions are incontestable. Number one, only wisdom can unlock the secrets of this earth for a man. Number two, only the wise can operate in advantage on this earth. Number three, wisdom, not color, not race, not gender, is the key to rulership and kingship on this planet. Number four, wisdom will be the greatest need of man on the earth and for a Christian. In fact, Jesus said, I sent you into the world like sheep into the midst of wolves. Many times as Christians, we look like we are weak. The terminology that the Bible chose for the believer, a sheep. Nobody looks at a sheep as a dangerous animal. But because of that, he said, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And a Christian that doesn't understand what the Bible says, be wise as serpent and only is harmless as a dove, the devil will eat him for lunch. When the Bible speaks of be wise as a serpent, the word for wisdom there is better translated strategic thinking. Be strategic in your thinking like a serpent, as a child of God. So that we look harmless, but we don't manifest as harmless people. It is our greatest need. Number five. Wisdom, not money, should be the outstanding pursuit of a man on the earth. Can I ask you a question? Is wisdom your own major pursuit? Now, there are people that pursue wisdom, but they pursue it in the wrong places. Some people pursued wisdom into the occult. Some people pursued wisdom into esoteric knowledge. Some people look for knowledge in the university walls, but there is no faculty of wisdom. There is no department of understanding. Knowledge is what is available for any man. Wisdom is the supernatural endowment by God that equips a man with the ability to use accumulated knowledge to his own advantage. Wisdom is not a natural thing, it is supernatural force that God alone gives. There are caricatures and look alike to wisdom that I will mention some for you this night. But these five positions come out of the fact that God made the universe in wisdom. In fact, when Satan launched his coup attempt, he thought if it was power, he was operating in a power level that deceived him. And please listen to this. Power by his nature always deceives the unwise. And that is why you have listened to some ministers in Nigeria speak and say, if I'm a pastor of 10,000 members, I won't listen to a minister with 500 members. That is not wisdom talking. Because a minister with 500 members may be an apostle that does not sit down with a flock and may have an experience that you need to gain from. Praise God. Power deceives, but wisdom puts some caution inside you that help you to navigate difficult waters of life successfully and effectively. Praise God. Having said that, let me give you some few definitions of wisdom. I just told you what is operational on the earth because of wisdom that God created this earth by. Wisdom will be the divine ability to interpret life with the eye of God, seeing things exactly as God sees them therefore coming to conclusion that God will come to in that situation. Number two, wisdom is the supernatural ability that gives a man respect for instructions. Show me a man that doesn't respect instructions, I'll tell you a man that is not wise. Number three, wisdom is the supernatural ability that comes upon a man from God that enables him to learn from the most unlikely teachers. In fact, Solomon the wisest man said, go to the ant and learn from the ant. How can you learn from the ant? Now write this, now don't forget that. As you walk on the earth, there will be many, many unconscious teachers for you on the road of life. You must never be an unconscious student. You must be a conscious student. There will be people that you will learn from their life and they will know they are teaching you. But failure begins when you become an unconscious student. Is that okay? A wise man will learn from a fool, and a fool will not learn from a wise man. Why? A fool is an unconscious student. He only thinks that learning can only take place in a formal setting. Wise people understand what Solomon knew, that wisdom is shouting from everywhere. In fact, Solomon said, I passed by the field of the lazy man, and I saw it overgrown with weeds and net and thistles and everything, and I considered and I became wise. He's learning from a field. Wise men or wisdom begins when you decide to be a conscious learner. Everywhere you go, you learn something. In the midst of pain, you learn something. The question that you must be asking, if the spirit of wisdom, when the spirit of wisdom comes upon you, is what is the lesson for me in this situation? You will move from season to season. If you look at the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it talks about 28 different seasons of life. One good season flowing to a bad one, but good, different seasons, one lifetime. You will have many seasons. But each season has its own lessons. Things will not last forever. The season will be over, but it is a lesson you carry from the season that will become your portion and possession. Yoruba people say, Ada oro ofi agbara koni. Now, when that person is hurting you, don't focus on the hurt. Focus on the lesson you can learn from that guy. Sometimes in your place of work, they change your boss, and a boss come there that is such a wicked man. But what is the lesson that God wants to learn there? Because the lesson you take from one season is what you are going to need in the next season. And when you enter a season without the required lesson, they will demote you back to where you are coming from. Are you following what I'm saying? Everybody say succeed. Say proceed. Many people can succeed. Few people proceed from success. It takes wisdom to proceed from success. Amen? That's why you are seeing great men that carry great anointing. Eventually they fail. Lack of wisdom is what caused people to fail in places of greatness. We must embrace wisdom. We must love wisdom. Wisdom is the ability given by God to use knowledge to your advantage. Proverbs 15 verse 2. It says, the mouth of the wise useth knowledge aright. Anybody can gather knowledge. Anybody can gather understand information. But it takes wisdom to use it positively. Amen? Praise God. In the world, there are more unconscious teachers in life. You must not be an unconscious student. Many people that are struggling in life, many people that are failing in life, they are unconscious students. Be a conscious student in life and you will get through. Next point you must take note of, you don't have to be a wise man to enjoy the results of a wise man. Find a wise man and learn from him. Observe him. Study him. That's the difference between a fool and a wise person. A fool does not observe, does not learn. Are you following what I'm saying? There are many things that you may not know how to do, but somebody knows how to do it. So look to that person, learn from him, and you get the same result. Praise God. In any field that you are functioning, there are some people that have learned some things. Find what they have learned and acquire it. If a man has one and you have half, it is wisdom that gives us the ability to recognize what is different between two people. Inability to recognize differences is the reason for failure and back. You cannot respect your wife and enjoy marriage until you know why and where your wife is different from you as a man. You cannot honor your husband until you know where your husband is different from you. If you take your pastor as a man like yourself, I mean, look at the son of the prophet in 1 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings chapter 4, that he died prematurely and he died in debt. Two things that shouldn't happen to a Jewish covenant guardian. And as soon as the man died, the wife ran to the prophet. What happened there? Most likely, while the man was alive, he refused to go. And this is how many men think. The wife said, "My dear, let's go and see the pastor and counselor." But he said, "How can I go and talk to a man like myself?" That is foolishness talking. Until you see what is different between you and a doctor, you won't respect the doctor's counsel. Until what is different between you and a lawyer, you won't respect the lawyer's counsel. Thinking that everybody is the same is a mark of outstanding folly. We are not the same in life. We are different from each other. Are you following what I'm saying? When I bring God's servant to preach for me, I recognize the law of difference. There is an anointing that he carries that I don't have. I want my people to partake of that. Why did he bring me here? It is not because I can do what he can do. There is something that God wants me to say. These same passages that you are reading, I will say it different from the way everybody is saying it. If every one of us is told to preach on John chapter 1 verse 1, we will have as many interpretations of us that are here. So it is folly that say, "I don't need you." Wisdom always know why I need you. Unity is different from union. Union built on similarity. Unity is built on differences. Well, that's why God operates by differences. And that's why his kingdom is stronger. Leadership recognizes difference. I have one, you have half. Let me take your half. What I have is one and a half. If you have half and you don't take my one, you remain with half. Watch proud people. They never learn from anybody. They take something from another person. So they remain the same. Year after year, nothing changing, nothing improving their life. They get backward. And life doesn't leave you the same. Life is moving. If you don't move, you are going to be crushed. Praise God. So we need to recognize this about wisdom. It is the greatest need of man, and we must pursue it. Praise God. Amen. Don't be an unconscious student, an unconscious learner. Be a conscious one. Always go around learning. Now, there are different types of wisdom. Four categories of wisdom the Bible speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 10. Number 1, it talks of the wisdom of men. And number 2, it talks of the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of men are the things that men can gather. The wisdom of this world are the things that we meet in the world that you can learn from the nature, from different things. And then number 3, it talks of the wisdom of the princes of this world. Occultism, esoteric things and things like that. Occultic wisdom, seeking after the devil. There's a wisdom of the princes of this world. The Bible says it is coming to zero, but it's a wisdom altogether. There are people that have become great things by the wisdom of men. There are people that have become great by the wisdom of this world. There are people that have become great by the wisdom of the princes of this world. But the final wisdom, the greatest wisdom, is the wisdom of God. The Bible says the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "We speak the word of God in a mystery." We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained for our glory. It means this is the wisdom that ordained to bring the child of God to the platform of glorification on the earth. You cannot manifest the glory of God beyond the wisdom of God that you are contacting and connecting to and applying to your life. It is possible to be born again and be like the foolishness of God amongst men. Because if you don't respect wisdom, you cannot manifest the glory of God. Praise God. It is time for every defective living to come to an end in your life. Amen. I had the story of an Ijebu man. This man had a younger brother that is a professor of mathematics in South Africa. And they interviewed him in the newspapers. He's about 80 something. His younger brother is over 70, a leading professor of mathematics. And the man at 84 had not gone to school. Yet, he had over 200 houses in Lagos. He said he had been building houses for the past 50 years. Then last year, he helped his brother, a professor of mathematics, to build his first house. And that tells me there's a difference between wisdom and education. If education is the key to success, the greatest success will come out of the universities. But some of the greatest universities are established by men that don't have a degree. We've got to understand the place of wisdom. And respect it. What you respect, you attract to yourself. What you disrespect, you drive away from yourself. Disrespectfully, respect wisdom. Praise God. So there are four types of wisdom that you must deal with in this world. And don't joke with them. Don't go after the wisdom of the devil. Go after the wisdom of God. We were talking about the wisdom of God in these things that we are in this teaching. Praise God. How does this wisdom of God come? Wisdom come, number one, by walking with God. There is a wisdom that just living the Christian life will give you. If you live the Christian life scripturally, there is a general wisdom of God that will be available to you. There's a general wisdom of God. Number two, we can get wisdom by prayer. James chapter 1 verse 3 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and he doesn't despise any. Now, this is very important because if you look at that James chapter 1, he was talking about faith. He's talking of the challenges of faith. And as a man, when I started out my journey with God in the ministry, God told me two things. He said, son, two subjects, master them very well. If you master them, you will pass the other subject. Number one, learn how to live by faith. Number two, learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So I gave myself to understanding those two subjects very well. And I found that God promised true, you can pass other subjects. Now, as a person that lives by faith, I found out that there are times that you get into a fight of faith and a battle of faith, the challenge of faith, that require the assistance of wisdom. Many faith giants have looked very weak and been defeated by the enemy because they did not enlist the assistance of wisdom. And that is where the leadership of the Holy Ghost comes in, that connects you to the assistance of wisdom that you need to cross over in certain instances. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And understand that there are some situations in life that faith will initiate a divine activity, but it will take steps of wisdom to get to the destination. Wisdom gives you the steps to get to your destination. Prayer can show you the vision and where you have to go, but wisdom gives you the steps to get there. And it is a man that has steps that get to his destination, not the man that knows the destination. You may know where you want to go, but if you don't know how to get there, you still won't get there. Praise God. Amen? So please take note of that. Number three, wisdom comes by association with the wise. Proverbs 13:20. He says that walketh with wise people shall be wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. Destruction always follows folly. Wisdom attracts wisdom. Spirits are contagious. If you walk with men that carry the spirit of wisdom, you will contact that spirit eventually. If you walk with men that carry the spirit of folly, you will contact that spirit, and spirits will influence you, whether you like it or not. Praise God. Number four, wisdom comes by feeding on the word of God. Psalm 19 verse 7 talks to us, the word of God is pure, making wise the simple. Number five, wisdom comes through the gift of a word of wisdom. There is a gift of the Holy Ghost called the gift of word of wisdom. God gives you a glimpse of tomorrow. If all of us know what business is going to work in Nigeria in 2017, don't you know we can corner that business? So wisdom gives you an angle on tomorrow. So you have an unfair advantage in life. Praise God. number 6. Wisdom comes by impartation. And that is the one that I'm focusing on in this session. The spirit of wisdom. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. He says that, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hand upon him and Israel hearkened unto him. So there is an impartation of wisdom. There are men that God has given a heavy dose of the spirit of wisdom. And you see it in their lives. And you can ask them to lay hands on you. Wisdom is contagious. Folly is also contagious. You have to choose which of the two you will contract. But whether you like it or not, you will either be wise or foolish on the earth. You can't be neutral. So make up your mind. You are going to choose to be wise. Praise God. Amen. Different dimensions of wisdom. I would like you to write them down. Different dimensions of wisdom. Maybe tomorrow I will do a little bit of exposition on some of them. But once we lay this foundation, the spirit of wisdom can have something to work with in our lives. Amen. Number one is the law of wisdom. In Proverbs 31, the Bible said the law of wisdom is in the mouth of that precious woman in Proverbs 31. The law of wisdom is in her mouth. May you understand the law of wisdom. How wisdom operates. What are the things that wisdom work with? I tell people, as anywhere you go, let respect go ahead of you. You can't go wrong with respect going ahead of you. Amen? You can't, nobody can sack you by saying, come on in, sir. Is that okay? When you let something else, arrogance go ahead of you, you are looking for a fall. There's a law of wisdom that we must apply in whatever field of life that we are functioning, and we must not violate the law of wisdom. I have seen people fail. I've seen people suffer losses. I've seen Christians in debt and don't know how to come out of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. During my last bad day, called all my staff and I opened an account for every one of them as a gift from me to them. And I told them, this account, I open it with this amount of money, savings account for all of you. On one condition, you will put 5,000 there every month for 1 year, you won't touch it. And I will check the account. And I sent for the account. I said, come and tell me what is going on in your account. One of them had withdrawn almost everything, about 2-3 of them. And I said, did you notice the two of you? You have different titles, but you have the same attitude and habit. Your problem is not money, it is habit and attitude. And did you notice that the two of you, your parents have financial struggle? The same spirit that made your parents to struggle is coming into your life now. Because nobody is going to break through financially if you don't develop discipline in two areas, to save and to sow. Write it and don't forget that. You can pray till Jesus comes. You will not break through financially until you learn how to save and how to sow. You will not break through financially. It will always be a prayer you are praying. But once you break through in that, nothing can stop you making it on this planet. Amen. Now, the second dimension of wisdom is the word of wisdom. The passage that our theme is from tells us that the scriptures are able. They carry the ability to make you wise. So the scripture is the word of wisdom that God has given to us. To study it, to digest it, and eat it, you become wise. There's a word of wisdom. The scriptures make us wise. To salvation, wise unto the anointing, wise unto God, wise unto the devil. Once you begin to read the Bible, the devil can't deceive you again. Once you begin to read the Bible, many things that you fall for won't happen again. The scriptures make you wise unto the tricks of the enemy, unto wrong people, unto right people. So you know how to behave and how to function. Praise God. The scriptures make you wise. Yes. The third dimension of wisdom is the gift of the word wisdom. Is a dimension of wisdom, and I pray that God will take you up to that dimension. When you see people that stand in the prophetic ministry and come and say, God showed me something is coming to happen in your future. Listen very well. That's the gift of word of wisdom. That's a dimension of wisdom. Amen. Many times mommy has stood in our church and called somebody forward and say, God showed me, I saw you in the future, an older version of you, very wealthy. Serious, and I put them on a diet. This is the structure you begin to live your life by. Amen. Now, because our theme is spiritual effectiveness, wisdom for spiritual effectiveness, Understand this principle. Nothing spiritual will manifest until it has a body to manifest through. Number one. Nothing spiritual will manifest until it has a body to manifest through. That is why anointing can't work on its own. It has to find a human being to stay on. So you can see the result of the anointing. If God anointed to sing, you must give that anointing your voice to sing through. Success, you know, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Blessing is a spiritual force. It cannot make you rich until you give it the structure of work. Without work, blessing is just spiritual. It doesn't manifest. So you must find what is the structure for this particular spiritual blessing to manifest. The second principle is this. The revelation of something spiritual will always be greater than the manifestation. Some of you will agree with me. When you started out, if you're a minister here, God showed you the world. You are preaching to everybody, different color, different gender and everything. And currently you are in a sitting room church. That revelation is correct. But the manifestation is in faces. Whether you will have manifestation that is equal to revelation that you saw is going to be determined by the wisdom you are applying to your life. Folly reduces the manifestations of our revelation. Wisdom enhances it. There is no destiny that God designed to be small, but our wisdom is what determines what happens to us in life. Did you hear what I'm saying? Let me make a statement that may shock you. God designed us to succeed. He didn't destine us to succeed. Did you hear that? We are designed to succeed. We are not destined to succeed. If you are going to succeed, you will apply wisdom. If we are destined to succeed, it doesn't matter what we do, we succeed automatically. 10 lives, you succeed as a pastor. If that is your, if destiny is what just happened like that. No, we are designed to succeed. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh. If you don't apply faith, that overcoming will not show. Praise God. Are you with me? The fourth dimension of wisdom is the spirit of wisdom. That's the one I'm talking about. Tomorrow morning, we are going to be dealing with that. And I'm praying that God is going to help you, that you contact a spirit that will change your life. Because many times when people are in trouble, they always look for something to change. Do I change my job? Do I change my location? Do I change my name? There are people that have been changing names. And change of name does not equal change of life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. Hear me, beloved. What many people need is a change of spirit. You can go to America if you have a spirit of failure, you will fail in America. You only transfer your failure to another country. If you carry a spirit of struggle, if you carry a spirit of poverty on you, you will only relocate your struggles to another place. But we need a change of spirit. We need a change of spirit from a spirit of folly to a spirit of wisdom. From a spirit of error to a spirit of accuracy. The Bible says, a wise woman builded her own home. The foolish one tears her own down with her hands. So if you see a family that they are beating each other, wisdom is missing in that family. One of them is not applying wisdom. It takes wisdom to do certain things in this world. Amen. That's the fourth dimension of wisdom. Praise God. Now look at number five. The fellowship of wisdom. These five dimensions, you must bring them into your life. The fellowship of wisdom. There is a fellowship or a network of wisdom. How many of you have seen a spider that catches butterfly or catches some? It spins that web and spin it. And then a bigger animal just come in and begin to wrap it around it. Everybody must have a network of wisdom. You cannot succeed alone on this planet. You must find your own fellowship of wisdom for you to enjoy effectiveness on the earth. Do you know that nobody can see the back of his own head? Somebody has to see it for you. Are you following what I'm saying? One of the things that focus will do for you, focus will make you a very powerful person. You are focused on your assignment. You are focused on your ministry. You are focused on this, and you are making progress. But focus will also blind you to something else. Because once you are focused, you can't see something else. So you need somebody to see what focus has blinded you to. Amen? So the fellowship of wisdom that we must develop. You must develop your own web of wisdom network, a fellowship of wisdom. Who should be in your fellowship of wisdom? Number one, you should have a father, a mentor, somebody that is a bank of wisdom, somebody that you can go to and ask questions. I don't know any human being that doesn't have questions. Amen? We can hear God different from each other. Why do you need a pastor? The difference between a man of God and the people of God is not in money or the car or their certificate. It is in their intimacy with God. A man of God is better than the people of God because he's closer to God. So what we need from him is that result of his intimacy. And it should be in your network of wisdom. You should have somebody in your life that you call your spiritual father, your mentor. Whatever you have, whoever you are, God has a father for you. The kingdom of God is a father and son proposition, not a friend and friend proposition. Praise God. Number two, should be in your network of wisdom is a spouse. Always marry above your level. Amen. Let the wife marry a man that is wiser than you. Let the man marry a wife that is wiser than you. And you'll be taking each other up, taking each other up, taking each other up. Praise God. Number three, that should be in your network of wisdom is a friend you can go to. A friend, sometimes a friend is there as a means. Yoruba people say, Mojamosa. What do you call that? Lamaking Kaju. When a warrior needs to retreat, you must have a friend that you can retreat to. Most of the time, our place of assignment, our place of business, our place of activities are also our place of battle and warfare. And you must have a place that is not a battle zone for you, it's a resting zone. You should have friends that you can go to, can just check out and things like that. That's part of your network. Don't be a loner. There's no place for loners on this. Is that okay? Praise God. Number four. Books that you read regularly. You must have books that you read. You fellowship with great people, wisdom through books. Number five, meetings that you must mark on your calendar. For example, this ETAC, ETAC convention that God has called the servant to do, is a convention that you must take your leave for. Our convention just finished July. Once a year, every member of our church understands that if you are a true and true member of Dreams, you take your leave for that convention. 1 year notice, you must be free to be there. Not every meeting should you go. For those of you that you are ministers of the gospel here, every minister in the body of Christ is a part of a part. This, every year I come and explain that to you. This, my arm here, is this, you call this one the arm, Abby? Is it the hand or arm? From the shoulder down, arm. But it is made up, this is the hand, the palm here. This is the elbow, no, the, from here to this place. Arm. Hand. Okay, whichever, from this place to the shoulder here, what do you call that one? All right, I don't know what to call it, but you see three major parts there. Are you following what I'm saying? Like, if it's a hand, Reverend, they will be the shoulder joint here for many ministers. You are a minister, you have your own ministry. God called you, you are elbow here. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Okay, you are joining this place to this place. Some of you are fathers of fathers, and then there is a father they are drinking from. As you rise and rise and grow in age, in wisdom, in experience, you begin to go closer and closer to the head, Jesus. But you will have somebody you are drinking from. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the ministry of a set man is to be a joint. The Bible says the body of Christ is completed with every joint and band supply. You can't operate in divine supply if there's no joint in your life. That is why a Christian should not go to church where the pastor is not born again. If you remove this my wrist joint here and put plastic there, very soon these fingers will die because it won't be receiving life. A pastor that is not born again is not joining the member to the flow from the head of the church. You shouldn't be praying for the salvation of your pastor. That is error. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. Of course, there are lots of funny people that say, I'm praying for the salvation of my pastor. That man is not joining to anything. And that's why sometimes you find people come from such a church and come to a church that the pastor is born again. Because in the church he's going, he's the one that is counseling his pastor. Because he attends meeting and get the truth and counsel. So when he comes to a church like this, he wants to counsel the pastor. All right. Now, if you go to a doctor and doctor say, my patient, you learn something, the doctor, will you wait for him? You want a doctor that is already a doctor before you come. The members don't make me a pastor. I was called to be a pastor before you came. If I'm not a pastor, God won't send the sheep to me. If you are not a teacher, he won't tell people to teach. Do you get that? Praise God. So it's important that you must understand. So this meeting will be a must-go meeting for some of you. You must know the meetings that God has something reserved for you. Many years ago, Kenneth Copeland was in his own ministry. He was ministry and praying. And the Lord said, attend Kenneth Hagin's next winter Bible seminar. I have something for you there. He had been operating as evangelist. Praise God. Now, I will soon finish because I'm supposed to finish at 6:30. So I have 10 minutes more, don't worry. Amen. So he's been operating as an evangelist. God wanted to add the anointing of prophet to him. Attend Kenneth Hagin's winter Bible study. And he went. And he sat on the high table with the ministers there. Kenneth Hagin is teaching. And teaching and teaching. Teaching. And God told Kenneth Copeland, he said, get on your knees. He said, no, I'll be calling attention to myself. Get on your knees. He said, no. Kenneth Hagin is still teaching. And he said, get on your knees now. And he fell on his knees. And where Kenneth Hagin is teaching, Kenneth Hagin stopped and said, Lord, I will tell him. And he turned and said, come forward. And he laid hands on him and said, this is the prophetic impartation for your calling. What if he didn't attend that meeting? There are ministers today that their effectiveness is short-circuited because the meetings that God arranged for them, they are not attending. The truth is, there are churches in this state that Reverend Olamide will not preach for, I will not preach for. But there are meetings that I will go, that he will go, that those pastors should come there to represent their members. Many years ago, at Elisha, the Ministers Association, and we were gathered, I was just starting church at Elisha. And so they were contributing money. And they said there are churches that are Class A churches, Class B churches, and Class C churches. So they said Class A churches are 100,000, Class B 50,000, Class C, I think 25 or whatever. So I said, which class did you put our own? They said Class C because you are just starting. I said, no, I'm not a Class C pastor. I said, put us in Class A. Now listen, I said, put us in Class A. It was not that we didn't have the money. We're just that, but something in my spirit revolted against calling me Class C pastor. So I went to the church and told our people, I said, I have taken a position in the spirit that you are Class A people. And we will give the minister 100,000 that they asked for. We did it from that day till day. Those people that were happy that they were Class C, oh, one row destiny, one row passion, one row impartation, they are struggling with things today. Your pastor chooses your position and portion in the spirit. A pastor that is not connecting to things that will increase the weight of glory on him will be reducing the impartation that his people have. Amen. Praise God. So there are meetings that you must attend. They shouldn't be begging you to attend this meeting if you're a member of this meeting. When the Bible says member is not just official members of Jesus Chapel here. Yeah? I mean of Redemption. Jesus Embassy. Members, they're not official members. There are members of the anointing that Dr. Lord Nori carry. I brought all associate pastors from my home. Please come up. Come stand up. Some of them are Bible school students. Some of them are pastors. Are you following what I'm saying? So then they left their duties. They are here. Each of them have different things because there are impartations that we drop from this altar that they must carry. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise God. Because every minister, when the minister is going to preach in another place, there is a different flow that we get into that must land on his people, that we enhance what they are doing. You are a combination of the impartations you receive and the study you have. Everything that God has for you is in twofold. 50 you will get by yourself. 50 somebody will give you. We will give the 50 that we should give, but will you get the 50 you should acquire? Praise God. Amen. I hope that is connected. All right, you can sit down. Praise God. So that's the fifth dimension of wisdom. Each of us must not joke with that. The manifestations of wisdom, I don't want to rush this. I'll finish it tomorrow. Manifestations of wisdom. Wisdom begins as a concept or a supernatural flow in the heart, like an inspiration. Job 32 verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Wisdom begins like that. A supernatural, indefinable concept or flow in the spirit of a person. It's just bubbling. It's just developing. You don't know. Number two, it becomes an idea in your soul. It's taking form. And when wisdom is manifesting as a concept and an idea, you can't work with it. But number three, it becomes an instruction. It is when wisdom becomes an instruction that wisdom begins to profit you. And number four, it becomes steps that you are taking every day. Steps that you are taking. Steps that you are taking every day. Now listen to me, everybody. Hear this. The problem with Broadcom. Good. Look at myself and this brother. His job is easier than my own. Do you get what I'm saying? You're a member of this ministry or what? You are around here? Good. You came here for a meeting. Now listen to this. This is very important. If this brother is a member here, his pastor stands here. One, two. Step on the second step there. Wisdom begins as a concept, become an idea here. Alright? Become an instruction here. Becomes a step here. And then you see the results here. But here, I am his pastor. I am waiting upon the Lord, praying. A concept, an inspiration in my spirit. An idea forming. And then an instruction come, and I come to church on Sunday. The Lord said everybody should do this, everybody should do that. It starts from instruction. The advantage of being a member somewhere is that you can always start from instruction. You don't have the problem of struggling with concept, idea. You begin from instruction and steps. So it is possible to have church members that are more successful physically than their pastor. Because many pastors, once they give the instruction in church, he himself does not carry the instruction. It behaves like an agbero that invites people to enter the vehicle that himself does not follow. Did you get what I'm saying? Huh? A man of God comes and says, God say everybody should give a special offering of 5,000, and himself does not do it. Everybody that carry out that instruction, they begin to walk in the result of that instruction. Are you following what I'm saying? May I ask you a question? What instruction or wisdom are you carrying out in your life? Since you have been born again, can you identify how many instructions of wisdom you have ever been given or you have received? What have you done with them? Because the bottom line of quarrel between God and man is his instruction. Our problem with the devil and God started from violating the original instruction. Don't eat from this tree. Eat from every other one. That's instruction. They didn't know the wisdom behind that instruction. When you buy anything, they give you a book of instruction called a manual. If you want to enjoy that thing, you better read that book. If you don't read that book, that thing can even damage you. What instructions of wisdom are you carrying out? What steps of wisdom can we say you are manifesting? Everybody that is here today, you are here by a step of wisdom. That you are here is a step of wisdom. But you must live with instructions. At the end of this convention, it is not fitting
that you must carry from here. You must carry instructions from here. Instructions. 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 There must be steps that is clear to you. From today, my dear, Mugbono meeting, I will never call you the name I've been calling you again. That's the steps. There must be instructions in the spiritual realm, the financial realm. Year in, year out, we give our members financial instructions. Are you following what I'm saying? And I can see young people that are building houses, that are buying cars and doing things. Many churches don't give financial instructions to their people. What do you do with your money? What do you do with your head, with your health? Many people are sick because they are not carrying out physical instructions of health. That you want to be healthy does not mean you will be healthy. There must be instructions that you are carrying. Praise God. You can go back, bro. So it manifests as instructions and then as steps. Praise God. It is when wisdom become instructions and steps that you profit by it. So you can see the advantage that you have as a church member. Instructions come. Prophetic instructions, supernatural revelations. The Lord says you should do this. The Lord says you should do this. The Lord says don't do this. Those people that don't have access to that instruction, they don't benefit from the wisdom behind that instruction. Praise God. Let me round up this meeting today. Are you following what I'm saying? I wanted to ask, what wisdom instructions or steps are you currently carrying out? Financially? Amen? Let me give you a financial profile for your finances. Are you ready? When you get your money, 10% tithe, 10% or 5%, whichever you want to choose, your kingdom offerings that you give, 10%, another 10% as an act of song to both your biological father and your spiritual father. Number four, 20% savings. Number 5, 20% investment. Number 6, 10% tax. Number 7, 20% spending. Does that equal 100? Huh? You want me to go over it one more time? Go and buy the tape. That's wisdom now. All right, I'll give you one more time. 10% tithe, 10% kingdom offering, tithe, special seed, reserve it. Number 3, 10% act of song to both your biological father, your spiritual father. 20% savings, 20% investment, 10% tax, 20% spending. Amen. Did you get that? All right, write this down again. Save in trickles, spend in bulk. Save what? In trickles, spend in bulk. You know, poor people, struggling people, they spend in trickles, they try to save in bulk. Did you get that? Okay, so save in trickles, save 50 naira. Don't spend 50 naira. Have an amount of, if you are earning 50,000 a month, 5,000 should not be anything you spend carelessly. Did you hear what I'm saying? Your friend is earning 150,000 and he just spent something 5,000 and you spend 5,000, you are foolish. You should know the amount of money that, based on your salary, you cannot spend without prayer and discussing with somebody. Did you get me? Praise God. Well, tomorrow maybe we'll get to that. Is that okay? Physically, what instructions are you carrying out? Don't eat sugar, walk every day. Spiritually, pray in tongues. Study your Bible. Those are instructions. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't be spiritually strong if you don't pray at least 1 hour every day. 1 hour prayer in the spirit is the unit for spiritual power. You can't be praying 10 minutes and think you are going to be spiritually strong. You can't do bathroom road prayer. You tie your tie on the way to the bathroom. And say, praise God, the devil is in trouble. You are in trouble, not the devil. Pray in tongues 1 hour. Amen.
You didn't say amen very well, oh. Praise God. Did you get that? Maritally, what instructions are you carrying out? What steps are you carrying out? Academically, professionally. Break your life down into different departments. Let me close by giving you the octagon of wisdom, and then I will round off because there's another speaker coming up. The octagon of wisdom. Draw an octagon. Is there anybody? I don't have a blackboard, but draw an octagon. Octagon is a figure with eight sides. Is that correct? Number one, what? Number two, when? Number three, how? Number four, who? Number five, where? Number six, why? Number seven, how long? Number eight, how much? You want me to go over it again? Number one, what? Number two, when? Number three, how? Number four, who? Number five, where? Number six, why? Number seven, how long? Number eight, how much? That's the octagonal wisdom. Stand to your feet tonight. Amen. Did you get something? All right, tonight the only prayer you are going to pray, every spirit that is opposed to wisdom operating in my life, Lord, deliver me from them. Let them live my life. Spirit of error, spirit of foolishness, spirit of arrogance and pride. Are you ready? Every spirit that is contrary to wisdom, because tomorrow morning I'm going to be ministering the spirit side of wisdom. I talk about wisdom day. I'll finish it tomorrow. Impartations will come. Did you hear me? Some spirit will not land on you if another spirit that is opposed to it is in your life. Did you get that? Every spirit contrary to wisdom that is operating in my life now, I reject it. I know pastors that have never attended another person's meeting. He said, no, if I attend that person's meeting, I will prove that he knows more than me. That is pride. He will never grow. Are you following what I'm saying? So pray every spirit contrary to wisdom that's operating anywhere in your life, Lord, drive them out. Open your mouth and pray. Let's welcome God's servant to come and lead us to pray. Tonight, every spirit contrary to wisdom, pride, error, arrogance, foolishness, live my life. Any ancestral spirit, live my life.
Prayer. Let's pray that prayer. Can you pick them one by one? Stupidity, foolishness, every spirit of assumption, laziness, every spirit of pride.